So glad to see you guys today. We love Christ Church. You've been an integral part of what we have been able to accomplish in Georgia. And this morning, we just wanted to give you an update. Don't you love time changes? I walked in this morning and I saw Alfred's clock had been turned back 2 hours. So I was like, okay, we're going to get a long sermon at 11 o'clock, that's for sure. Well, I'm the State Director for Child Evangelism Fellowship. We're in 61 of 159 counties. And what God has done over 5 years' time is just nothing short of miraculous. That's the business He's into anyway, right? So we want to update you on some things and give you a chance to ask some questions, help you to understand what the scope of our mission is, as well as helping us to make some connections right here in Atlanta. We want to start a chapter here in this city. It's amazing that Georgia received its charter in 1969, but Atlanta has never had a bona fide chapter of its own. It has been the state chapter headquarters, but it has never had a chapter of its own. So that's what we're working toward. And just wanted to fix my computer here. I think the enemy lives in computers. Right. Why do they call it Apple? It has that little bite out of the side, right? So we're an international ministry. We're just the state chapter of a bigger picture. But you are tied to the international ministry. Let me tell you, this is big. God's family is big. And this will give you a little scope of that. But just picture what you've been able to do in supporting CEF of Georgia in the light of these statistics. Worldwide, we have 2,900 paid staff. These are workers that are on the payroll for CEF International. We are totally committed to the philosophy that nationals reach their own people better than going in as a foreigner. So we have 94% nationals across the entire planet. We just were able to get into Eritrea and Somalia, 100% Muslim nations. You either convert or you're killed. So you say, how in the world can you do that ministry there? We actually have networks on the ground that are flown out in teams and trained and flown back in. So we have to fly them to a safe space to train them to do this ministry, and then they go back in. In 2014, we were in 190 countries. How many of you know how many countries are in the world?
215 or 18.
Yeah, that's you're pretty close. 215 or 18. It's 207. It depends on who takes over whom, you know? So right now there are 207. But then last year, we were able to get into Eritrea and Somalia. But just 2 weeks ago when I was at headquarters, we were able to get into two more countries. So now, even since this came out, we're in 192 countries. In 2013, we had 326,000 teachers trained. That's worldwide. That's everything that goes along with the clubs and the ministries that we offer. And then in 2014, it was an increase of 16,000, which is 342. And at this point, everything becomes exponential. Amen? It's not like you're trying to get traction anymore. We have traction all across the globe. 2013, we had 62,000 Good News Clubs. I'll tell you a little more about the Good News Clubs as we go along. But they have grown exponentially in the last couple of years. That's an increase of 7,000 clubs. 2013, we logged 15 million kids reached. That's face-to-face conversations about God and spiritual things. 2014, 19.9 million. So that's a huge increase of 27%. Don't you wish your money markets and your stocks and would do that kind of thing? That would just be fantastic, wouldn't it? Along in that number of 19.9 is the 6.7 million children that received Christ as Savior. There's a big party going on in heaven. You know what the word says? That every time a soul is redeemed, that the angels sing. They party. It's a big deal. This is the unseen work that we do, the unseen world that we're going to. We just broke that number down to help you see what it would be. That's really 54,000 plus a day. 2,200 every single hour. And then 38 every minute coming to faith in Christ. And you say, well, wow, that's really good news. That's why we're called the Good News Club. So we're going to ask our team members to stand up. If you have on a t-shirt, you probably saw these guys walk around today. Yeah, you don't want to stand up, did I? Thank you, guys. Very, very much. I'm going to switch this to another view from this point on. I want to talk to you today about passing the baton to the next generation. This is so key to us, to our generation, and to the next generation coming. How many of you have ever been on a track team in the past? Maybe in college, okay? Several of you. There are some principles that go along with passing the baton that we're going to talk about today, but we're talking about the baton of our faith. How can we pass that to the next generation? Psalm 78 said, we will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation. That's the baton we're talking about. I know that you can think of someone who had a major influence on your life. Spiritually speaking, people had major influence on my life, spiritually speaking, to help explain the unseen world that we live in as believers. Why do we have to pass that baton? Why do we have to do that? Well, God calls us to do that, but we're going to look at four simple reasons that we have to pass that baton down. It's not an option. We have to give it to the next generation, or we have dire consequences. God is counting on believers to run this race. God's not counting on somebody that doesn't know Him to pass His word to the next generation. It's us. We are the only ones that can do that. You know, when you think about things like are listed right here, feeding the hungry, teaching the illiterate, clothing the destitute, building schools, providing health care and humanitarian relief, what do all those things have in common? It's not what they are, it's what they are not. Those things are not the gospel. My own church has to correct itself about every 2 years. Because here's what churches tend to do, and I was inside the walls for 25 years. We tend to drift from our mission, our God-given mission. So it's up to the pastor, it's up to whomever your leader is, to keep that thing centered on the mission of what Jesus said, and that is to go into all the world and preach the gospel and get people to understand the love of God. So who can do these things? Anybody can do those things. We have teams that come down here that are part of corporate Atlanta that do street ministry by providing meals. We have a bridge ministry just south of here. We have corporate entities that provide those things. They don't have to be Christian though. They provide a service. They give something toward the mission that helps us tremendously. We're definitely not taking away from that. But only believers can share the gospel. That's you and me. Only we can do that. And that's because Jesus gave us the power to do that. He didn't empower any other thing or entity. He empowered His people, us, to be the light and the salt in the city that's set on a hill that cannot be hidden, to go out and to reach the next generation. And Acts 1:8 is one of my favorite verses in all of Scripture, but you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the end of the earth. So that is why we're so passionate in CEF about fixing our eyes on not what is seen, but what is not seen. Because what is not seen, according to God's word, is eternal. But what is seen is temporal. All this is going to pass away. I have two sons. One's 25 and one just turned 17. How many of you have boys in here? Okay. Is your food bill as high as mine? You know, these boys never stop eating. I told one of my youngest sons, I said, you know, I could probably drive a BMW 8 Series when you leave home. But I'm not going to do that. But that's just the thing we're looking at in this stage of life. Where he is, he's thinking about one thing, and that's getting to the next place. You remember being like that as well, right? You couldn't wait until you were 16. You couldn't wait until you were 18 and 21, and so it goes. But at 54, I'm having a completely different perspective, right? Do you have a different perspective? If you're over 50, you don't see, okay, I need to get to the next thing. You're thinking, okay, we can stop right here for a while. Push the pause button. Because life takes on a different priority and it takes on a different perspective when you're able to not only look forward, but also to look back. And when God really impressed upon me to get outside the walls of the church, that's really what it was. Because over the period of 20 years, I saw the stats falling of people who were churched. We stand at 80% national average of people that don't attend church anymore. And it used to be 20% that were unchurched. And in my lifetime, this swing has happened. It's happened in your lifetime. So what do we do about that? God counts on us believers to run the race. My uncle, who spent 30 years on the mission field, one time told me, he said, you need to make sure that you have your calling. And when you have your calling, everything else will fall in line. Now, it took me a while to figure out what that was, but here's what he said to me. If God can use a donkey to speak the truth, he can use you. That really stuck with me all through my college years, through my early adult years. God can use you. That's what I'm telling you. God can use all of us to give the truth to the next generation. We do that in a lot of ways, but thank the Lord, over this time we've been able to garner 2,600 plus volunteers in Georgia. And those people every single week give of their time, their resources, and their talents to do that very thing, to give the good news to the next generation. Otherwise, the good news gets lost. So, God is counting on believers to run the race, but he's also telling us we need to give the news because the world so desperately needs the Lord. I mean, do you agree with that? How has the world changed since you were a child? Just raise your hand, shout it out. It's worse. It's worse. That's right. What is one big thing that has made it change so dramatically? Taking God out of everything we do. So we're going to delve into that a little bit, but I want you to really think about how the world has changed. We didn't have cell phones. Are you kidding? My parents had a ringy-dingy phone on the wall. I figured this thing out. This brown phone that was with Mama South or Bell South years ago, Ma Bell, he paid $30 a month for 33 years. You figure out those numbers, that could buy some big computers. But that's all we had. That's the only way you could communicate. We didn't have cable. We had three channels with the antennas, right? And you put tinfoil on the antennas if you had a rainy day like today. We didn't have the mass way of communicating real-time events then. That one issue has changed the world forever. The fact that we can communicate so quickly and allow people to hear so much. And because of that, this next generation is being victimized. The average age for a child to stumble onto pornography is at the end of his first grade year. Think about the ramifications of that. Then they tell their friends. And then their friends go home and tell their parents, and their parents get hysterically mad. Because you cannot protect children against the culture. But this is not a culture that they made. We adults have made it. They didn't come up with that. They have to bear the consequences of what we have done. They're victimized every day. Last year we had a third grade boy. I'll call him Dylan. This year he returned as a fourth grade girl. You think, well, that's really sad. Immediately, the Good News Club leader calls me and she says, what are we going to do? None of the kids wanted to sit around him. So we have three major problems already. First of all, that he has heels, a dress, you know, pink fingernails and toenails, and long hair. And they knew him last year as a boy. Bathroom time. Imagine your child coming home and telling you, Daddy, Mama, I was at Good News Club, and there was a boy dressed like a girl, and he was trying to go into the girl's bathroom. You see what I'm saying? It's not just one decision. It carries out for eons of time. So this little boy, we figured out, had some grave, grave needs in his heart. We put a mentor with this child. This has been only 3 weeks ago that all this started happening. We helped this child to begin to come around to the fact that whether you feel like that or not, God made you this way. And trying to show that child from God's word how he can deal with those feelings. But those feelings of a child are victimized by what is seen on TV, the internet, movies, in music, everything. They're being victimized by that. This world, this city, gangs, drug, trafficking, it's really unbelievable that all around us we have these issues. That's why we need to be the light to the world. The government is not going to fix those problems, amen? The government will never be able to fix those problems because they're not fixable from the outside. If you want to know what a nation looks like that has turned its back on God, just look at the United States. You don't have to look elsewhere. You can look right here. We've said no to God in the schools. We've said no to God in Congress and in other places, even though every major institutional building has, and on every coin that we bear, we have drifted people. And the only way we're going to get back on track again is if you and I understand what's happening and we can really put feet to what we see as problems. The only answer to all these things is Jesus. Because only Jesus can change your heart. Only Jesus can change little Dylan's heart to be redeemed so that he understands, I love you with an everlasting love. I want you to be my friend forever. Those are the principles that we teach in Good News Club. Just this week, if you follow the news with the Anglican of North America, Dr. Foley Beach outlined 10 points in answer to the questions, beginning with the charge that Christians should share their faith in Jesus because of the needs of others. Here's what he said. The brokenness around us in the world is so great. People are suffering, wounded, miserable, self-medicating, and desperate for answers. And I'm all the time reminded of what Edmund Burke said. The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is if good men do nothing. That's us. And so what God is calling us to is something much greater than ourselves. Why pass the baton? Third thing is God's love compels us. Who shared Jesus with you the very first time you heard about the Lord? Did a picture of somebody's face just come to your mind the first time you heard about Christ? It did with me. Not only was it my uncle who was so blunt in his speech toward me, he was a major mentor in my life, but my grandparents. You hold the power as grandparents that no parent holds. That is so hard for me to explain, so that you can understand. I would have listened to my grandparents before I listened to my parents. What is that? I don't understand that. But it's true. And you know why they're spoiled kids? Because you can't spank grandma. That's why. Yeah, we go to grandma's house, we have the best time, and then we return homes, and our parents have to really get us back in line again because our parents love us with one love. Our grandparents love us with an entirely different love. My grandparent used to set me down and my sister and brother and talk to us not about what Scripture said. She talked to us about what was in her heart and how life used to be when she was a child. And over we would hear those stories. And then when she came to a point to accept Christ as Savior, she did tell us about that day. And so it makes a child inquisitive. The power you have is right here as a grandparent and as a parent. So how are we yielding that power, wielding that power? 2 Corinthians says, therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. She persuaded me. Because the love of Christ compelled her to do that for me. You love your own children. You love your own grandchildren. And because you love them, you want them to be whole, spiritually whole. But you can't do that without the gospel. There was a man, part of this church for many years, Carlton Fuller. Do you remember Carlton? Carlton took one of our courses. This man signed up for a 30-hour course. And I think he was in his 70s, wasn't he, when he signed up for it? Carlton then became so equipped with the gospel, he could express his own faith in simple terms, but then he shared it with his two granddaughters, and both of them received Jesus as Savior. Just by telling the story. That's all Carlton did. But you have to know how to do that. So God's love compels us to do that. When we're able to express our own faith, then God helps us to grow in our faith. When you can explain it to others. We had a young man who 6 months after he accepted Christ, he wanted to be able to share that with others, but he didn't know how to do that. And this is unusual, but we worked with him during the summertime, and he joined the Good News Club team last fall, year ago, September, as a new believer. You know what he said to our team and our staff? He said, I have grown more knowing how to express my own faith than I did sitting in church. Because when you understand how to express your faith, then it is cemented in your heart and in your spirit. So Chris joined our team in Savannah, and last year, three little boys that were part of his table, his small group, came to Christ as a result of his testimony. Not that he knew a lot of Scripture, but the fact that he was able to what he did know. I'd love to return another time and teach you the simple way that we explain salvation to children. Imagine if somebody gave you the assignment this afternoon to tell someone who didn't have any church background, didn't have a God consciousness at all, who God is. Would you be able to do that? That's very difficult. Few people can do that. We have to be trained to do that. That's why our training is so important, to help people understand how to do that. St. Augustine said this, find out how much God has given you, and from it, take what you need. The remainder is what? Needed by others. So other people need what you and I have. It's not just for our own keeping. Acts 6:7 says, the word of God kept on spreading. I love this verse. This is one of the funniest verses in all of Scripture. The word of God kept on spreading, and the number of disciples continued to increase greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were becoming obedient to the faith. The gospel is so strong, it can even change a priest's heart. Right? Sometimes we get so much used to seeing the forest, we can't see the trees. And a lot of times if you're in church work, you basically work with sheep, and the sheep are around you all the time, needing food and needing help. But God says this. He says that I can change your heart, but you have to allow me to do that. That word goes out to you as well. So the four reasons for passing the baton. God is counting on believers to run the race. The world desperately needs the Lord. God's love compels us, and we grow in our faith. Those are four very good reasons. I started looking at the whole analogy here of passing the baton. I was in track my senior year of high school. We had just had a team established, so nobody really knew a lot. The coach didn't even know a lot about track, even though he was a football coach. He didn't know how to coach track, but it was a start for us. And these four principles brought back some principles that he gave us in that first year team. To pass the baton, you must leave the sidelines and get in the race. You can't sit on the sidelines. If you're going to pass it, you have to get in it. Sometimes it's so easy to sit on the sidelines, but to be in this race, you have to get in it. The race is about the baton. It's not about the runner. You get the spiritual analogy there? This thing is not about you and me. We're going to pass from this scene 70, 80, 90 years and be in eternity the rest of our lives, and somebody else is going to be taking over. That's the perspective that's just hit me in the last 5 years. Because up to that point, I really did believe a lot of this life was about me. It was about the runner. But it's not about the runner at all. It's about the baton. And what is that baton? The baton is the baton of faith. Third thing is, to improve, you must practice the baton pass. You're not going to be good at this the first couple times, the first 100 times. I'll never forget the first time I witnessed to somebody. I was 17 years old, and I pulled up to a drive-thru. I just received word that I was going to be working at this printing company. Was on my way to meet the owner for the first time. Pulled up to a drive-thru, and I thought, okay, I need to say something to this guy in the window. So he gave me my food, and I threw a gospel tract through the window and stepped on the gas and laid rubber in the parking lot. I was so scared. I mean, even now telling that story, my heart is beating fast. You know what I'm saying. You've been at the same place. You have to practice it, though. It doesn't come naturally. You have to practice those things. You have to practice it until it becomes instinctual, just part of who you were. That's how my grandmother got. She didn't even need to show us God's word, because after she read it for so many years, it was put right here. Some of the countries that we work in across the globe are not allowed Bibles at all. They have to memorize God's word. How many of you have ever seen the movie, The Book of Eli? Anybody ever seen that? It is a very violent movie, but let me tell you, the message in that movie, am I right, is huge. This is a post-apocalyptic America setting where everything has been banished that's good. And there's a verse in Revelation about that, by the way. It talks about the Holy Spirit being the one that constrains evil in our world. But when he's taken out of the way, literally all hell breaks loose. But this movie addresses that. A man in this movie is in search of the book, the last book that's good, the last book that gives life. And all through his search, people are chasing him, trying to get to him because they know he's going to find this book. Long story short, Denzel Washington has become blind through this whole process, but he's memorized this book. You know what the book is? God's word. But when the evil men get this book, they open it up and it doesn't have words. It's written in Braille. So he has become blind, he's learned Braille, he's memorized God's word. In the last scene in the movie, you see him sitting there dictating Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and a man is writing it down. And so the cycle begins again. That's the word that you and I know that has life, that changed you and me. Outside of that, there is no change. The other thing is, you and I have to practice under pressure. And if you talk to your grandkids lately, this is pressure. When I got that phone call from the Good News Club leader and they were telling me about the third grade boy, that was pressure. We immediately had to jump into action and try to figure out what the best thing is to preserve him and to preserve the dignity of the club and the kids in the club. The fourth principle is this: just because you drop the baton doesn't mean that you're disqualified. I'm glad about that, aren't you? I think God must have just kind of chuckled when he saw me peel rubber in that parking lot that day, throw the track through the window and take off. You know, would you do that with your child? I would. I think it's so important, though, that we realize God is not mad at us. God is not vengeful toward us. As believers, we are his children, and he wants to equip us to take his word to the next generation. These are some ministry stats. I gave you the global a few minutes ago. This is what's happened in Georgia, and it's all because of your participation and the participation of others who have allowed us to be strategic partners in getting the word out. Georgia Good News Clubs in 2011 had 5,600 kids enrolled. 4 years later, 17,000 plus. That's over tripled in that length of time. Because the people are there and the people are wanting to know. It's just a matter of us finding strategic partners to help us. Gwinnett now has 30 Good News Clubs. That's all happened in the last 3 years. There are 79 schools in Gwinnett. Cobb County has 6 counties that lie around it. Those counties also are trained by Cobb. That chapter alone has almost 40 clubs that are going on between Cobb and the other outlying chapters. Our newest coastal chapter, which are the 5 counties that line the coast, have Good News Clubs in all of Glenn County schools. You ever heard of a little place, Sea Island or St. Simon's Island? The county schools in that county, every school has a club. You know what that superintendent said? He's a believer. He told me, he said, of all the clubs and the programs that we've ever had, Good News Club has changed the culture of our county. That's what we're talking about. It's not that people are out there just doing that for their health, because it changes the perspective and the culture of a place. So we've worked hard over the last 4 years. Our staff is so glad when I go on vacation sometimes. They send me a little note my first day, glad you are there. I never say, I wish you were here. They say, glad you were there. But we've worked really hard, and we've opened up enough counties that now represent one half of all of Georgia public schools. There are 1,320 public schools, and we've opened up enough counties that represent 650 plus. Now we're trying to find church partners and financial partners and teams put together to get in half these schools in Georgia in the next 2 to 5 years. That's our goal. Pray for us, because you know as well as I do, when the word is in a setting that kids equate with education and it's legal, it changes things. At our Bethune Club, where Chrissy and her team are, right here across from the Georgia Dome, one of the men who was on housekeeping staff had a father who worked there in housekeeping. In the 60s, when the Bible and prayer and Ten Commandments were taken out of school. So the team shows up, and the second week, he says to Mona, this other CEF staff person, who are you and what are you doing here? And she told him, you know what he said? Welcome back. Welcome back. Because he knew a time when it left. 2015, we ended the year last year with over 2,100 children making professions of faith. And that's working one-on-one with children who express a desire to know who God really is and to have a relationship with him. We reached over 32,000. And in Atlanta, we have 8 to 10 new teams that we're working with that put volunteer teams together, mostly south of I-20. But what came out of this church is really exciting. Jan, there's your mug. How do you like that? This is your team right here, the first team in Atlanta. And out of this team became 2 more clubs. These are some pictures. You may have seen some of these. As fifth graders, Jan always has a cookout at her house at the end of the year to try to get those kids connected in a different way. These are some of the kids in that club. And if you've ever had an out-of-body experience, you know what this is like. Non-stop. The club is just moving, because the kids are always doing the same thing. So out of this team, Chrissy and Grace Midtown put a team together to go to Bethune. That's the one across from the Georgia Dome. Here's some pictures for them as well. Here, I think they were trying to do the Red Sea. And then this is them walking through the Red Sea. Try to give the picture to the children of what that was really like. But look at their feet. They were walking on dry ground. That's what the word says. Amen. And then another team the apostles has put together is Jackson Elementary. And Karen over here is part of that team as well. You see some pictures there from Jackson. We're working with Peachtree Prez right now to put a team together. We've prayed for them for 3 years. We also have some other churches that are in the makes. Buckhead Church, Andy Stanley's North Point Community Churches all across this part of Georgia. And I just want to thank you because what you do by praying for us and helping us financially is helping to spread the word that we can't do alone. We have to do that with each other. So God bless you. I want you to give yourself a big hand. God, a big hand for what he's done. I'm just going to open it up for the next few minutes, about 5 minutes. Does anybody have a question for me about the clubs or the legalities? Good News Club is actually one of 5 ministries. This is our largest, by the way. We did pray about getting into Fulton County schools, which we have. We're putting some teams together south of I-20 to do that. But a man in my own church stepped up and said, listen, most of my friends are now high school principals and middle school principals in Fulton County. You need to be at this meeting. So I go to this meeting, and there were 15 pastors there. When I told them what we were trying to do in Fulton County, they were jumping up like it was a game show, trying to adopt a school of their own. So we have those that are putting together teams as well. The Fulton County Sheriff was there that day. They've started using our materials. We have the second ministry next to Good News Club is Prison Ministry. We're trying to get our materials into all the prisons there. And then we have a summer ministry. It's called 5-Day Club. It used to be called Backyard Bible Club. But parents wanted to drop their kids off all summer, and we said, no, it's just for 5 days. So take your kid and go the rest of the summer. And then we have a leadership training project. It's called CYIA. Christian Youth in Action, and we train the next generation, those who are 15 years old to 22 years old, to take our places in leadership. And then the last one is military ministry. We have one on a military base right outside of Hinesville, and we're looking to expand that as well. So that gives you a big picture. But just wondering if you had any questions or comments or anything you'd like to say. Be glad to answer it for you. You know what our... Yes, sir?
Do you have any outreach into the juvenile prisons here?
Yes. We actually have a part-time juvenile detention center director. He has his doctorate in ministry, but he felt so called to that age bracket that he works with the 7 to the 17-year-olds. Can you believe they're housed together? A 17-year-old criminal is housed with a 7-year-old. So Ronnie goes into our facilities. Yesterday, he was his first Saturday in Rockdale County Center. And I'm waiting to hear how that went. But they have hundreds of kids in these things. They put on Christmas parties and Thanksgiving parties and just try to help the kids to understand life outside the walls the way God intended it. That's a great question. We're hoping to expand that in the rest of Georgia. We just need the right person to do that. Not everybody can do that ministry. So we're praying for those to come up as well. Great question. Yes, sir.
Have any organizations try to oppose what you're doing, taking the position that it's illegal to bring God into public schools?
Yes, sir. The Atheists of Georgia 5 years ago put on their website and put out into the media that they were going to take us down. They targeted us and FCA specifically. So we launched our prayer teams into action. We had one club only in 5 years to be interrupted by this group, and that was in Macon. But after the principal saw what was happening, she stepped in. Besides that one interruption, there have been no public displays of that. There have been a lot of things that are put out on the internet that are trying to get us out of the schools. But here's the real challenge for them. The U.S. Supreme Court said that faith clubs could be in schools like any other club. So unless the Supreme Court changes their minds, We are there, and we're there legally, and we're there because we're not going to give up this ground the second time that we gave up the first time. That's a great question. They actually started in Georgia. They had four clubs last year, not the Good News Club, but the Better News Club. That's what they called it. The atheist organization is the Better News Club, Young Skeptic Society. And they had four clubs last year. This year, there are none. So keep praying. Yes, sir.
Could you describe a financial model? What you get over to this club? What's the cost?
Right. Yeah, great question. He said, can you give a financial picture or model of what it costs to do a Good News Club and how it's sustained and all that? We've worked it out now so that a club, whether it's for 50 or 150, and we do have some clubs that are that large, it's $2,400 for everything for a whole year, except for the snacks. Now, kids love snacks, and the team of the church usually puts those things together. But all of the material, all of the training, the background check, the liability insurance, which we provide on 2,600 volunteers, all of the resources beyond that, the extra trainings during the year, all go to be part of that Good News Club. But here's the real catch. We've seen God do the amazing. We were asking him to give us a vision for how this thing could really sustain itself. And our largest need is that churches just like yours, you can't just pay that out of a discretionary fund. Everything is in a budget. So we have created a scholarship fund for churches to get started their first year, and they don't have those funds readily available, and then the next year they put it into their budget and they sustain. We've only had six over the last 4 years that needed an additional sustaining partial scholarship for the years that follow, but everybody else has come in and put that in their budget as part of a mission project of their church. So that's a great question. So from that and from the other needs that we have, of course, the more people we have to have staff that oversee those. These can't be just anybody. They have to go to our Children's Ministry Institute in St. Louis and be trained. They're director level. So all of those things we take into account as well. And we work with foundations and individuals and churches to get those things. There are quite a few churches in America, not so much in Georgia, that don't have the people to send volunteers out, but they have the money to send other volunteers out. That's how it happened in Glenn County. One church was responsible for 8 different clubs starting. They had the money, they caught the vision, they got the money together, and then the team started handing off to other churches when the churches saw the great benefit to it. It's a good question. Anybody else? Alfred, I want to thank you because you're a man after God's heart. I watch this guy every week on the internet, and I just love his heart for the Lord and his exposition of the scripture. Amen. Yeah, you've got a real gem. Yeah. Believe me, after working with 300 church partners in Georgia, he's a real gem. God bless you guys. Thank you so much.